Right, so this is the talk about EUPF, but I'm also going to talk about a little bit about Osmo UPF, mainly for comparison. And let's first explain, maybe someone is not entirely clear, just to introduce what is a UPF. It's all about, what's the zoom situation? It's all about control and user plane separation on the packet switch side. So very important for 5G and everything. Basically, it's this. I thought of this when one of the slides had, I realized the word plane means the same as plane. You want high volume data to be transported efficiently, and you have other data that is low volume and controls the high volume. So that's the separation. And yeah, it's on packet switched, and PFCP is sort of the middle of it. The way how the control plane tells the user plane what to do is PFCP. And PFCP has many very complex features, and usually we use only a small subset of it. Right, so where are the UPFs? I mean, you all know this graph by heart. Have you found one yet? So yeah, let's make it a bit simpler then. In the context of the OsmoCom network in the box, our default recommended setup, that we have a UPF here. Let me sit down now. By the HNB gateway, sort of does the same thing that the media gateway does for the voice stream. And in Open5JS, can't see, we have a UPF over here. And this, like, do you notice the difference? This one forwards GTP, and this one decapsulates the actual IP traffic inside the GTP. So those are the main use cases we are concerned with. So let's just, for comparison, what is Osmo UPF? It's written in C, and we use NF tables and NetFilter to do the tunnel mapping use case. And we use the GTP kernel module, just like Osmo GGSN, for the decapsulation use case. And I wonder what's the next slide. Ah, okay. That's what I just explained. So we have the two use cases. In this case, where we would forward GTP from one tunnel to the other, we use NetFilter. And and here we use the GTP kernel module. So this is Osmo UPF's performance. Why is that? Because it's slow to get high volume detail through to NF tables into NetFilter. Once the rules are there, it's really fast. It's like it's luxurious at, you know, Emirates, I mean. And but here on the control plane, as soon as lots of tunnels come up and get established and torn down, and especially like if we, I mean, imagine we might want to get counters for all of them, maybe every second. It's not going to work. I'm going to show you later the difference. So EUPF, in turn, is written in Go. It's all googly. And it uses, who would have thought, eBPF and XDM, which we talked about earlier, which bypasses the entire network stack and just forwards the GTPU where it needs to go very efficiently. And also the maps that we talked about earlier. Remember maybe my question, can we get any data back officially? The answer was the maps. So there's an efficient way to get high volume of data forward. I just wasn't fully aware yet whether backwards is also that efficient, but yeah, apparently it is. And I just took this from the website. It also supports the quality enforcement rules. I'm not really familiar with it, but to compare with Osmo UPF, I just listed it because we don't have it. And like, okay, I forgot to mention, why do we compare the two? Because both of them are a UPF implementation and open source that tries to use Linux kernel for like more PS, like for speed, for more packets switched. Oh, never mind. So, using NetFilter also is fairly quick. Using EPPF XDM is potentially even quicker, as I learned today. And so this is what EUPF feels like. I wanted to show you that. I will say these words in a minute. Now, one thing that's also very interesting to customers of us, at least, is usage reporting rules. Like, sometimes it's only interesting how much traffic does an entire HNodeB get for whatever traffic checking or what have you. But for others, it's important to get billing per subscriber. And neither Osmo UPF nor EUPF have per subscriber usage reporting. What would be missing to do it? In Osmo UPF, we would need to get the counters from NetFilter, which is exactly getting all, say, 40, 50,000 tunnels in two directions, getting all those counters as quickly as possible all the time. Now, if getting counters takes 2 minutes, then that's not an option. In EUPF, I guess we would have to extend the maps and have counters per individual PDR and FAR, or only PDRs should be enough. So some time ago, I thought it would be the same implementation for both, but obviously not. If EBPF bypasses NetFilter, then we can't use NetFilter to count it. So at this point, I just thought, why slides? Let's just, look at this stuff. I was going to show something. That's not it. That's up later. Okay, so what do I have here? Yeah, let me try. Let's be. It's still pretty small, no? Okay. Let's see how far we get with this.
Just a question. I mean, is the use case the same between both?
Say again, a use case? I
mean, can you do tunnel mapping or the encapsulation?
You can do both at the same time, or only one of?
Both, also UPF, EUPF.
Yes. I forgot to mention, it will also come up later again. EUPF requires something else attached to it to do the decapsulation and does the tunnel mapping on its own. And Osmo UPF can do both by different means, but in itself. So here I have Osmo PFCP2, which is something I wrote for Osmo UPF. It can run scripts. I have a script here, the TUN map I wanted to show. So what does it do? It associates with the UPF, creates 1,000 sessions, makes sure all of them are established, and does the same thing 5 times. Well, I could have just, created 5,000, but it's kind of interesting to sort of see when are the first 1,000 done. And that's what it runs. So let me first show you what Osmo UPF looks like. Okay. So let's hope it starts. Jesus. Maybe it crashed and didn't clean up the APN or something. How did it work again? should start now. There you go. So now the script is going to tan map. It's just going to do this and just, you know, let it sink in, look at how quickly stuff scrolls by. I don't have precise metrics because I didn't have time to prepare properly anymore, but you know, it gives a nice feeling for what is happening. So let's just start this and see what happens. Osmo PFCP2, thanks. So every now and then it just waits for 64 to finish, see how it starts to slow and slow. And that's like every added session takes longer than the one before. And now the first 1,000 are done and we're heading to the second 1,000. And OsmoUPF is going mad, it's creating the things. And NFTables is showing stuff, Anyway, so I mean, I'm getting tired. I'm not going to wait for the 5K to finish. So let's just, you know, I don't know, abort. And, oh, it's still busy. When I aborted, now it's done setting up. Now when I aborted, it's taking down the tunnels it created so far. You know, that's the general feeling you get from telling NFTables like something like thousands, like 5,000 entries or so. And what you also notice is like in the beginning it was fairly quick, but it slowed down very, very quickly. And this is not getting all the counters at all, it's just creating another one. And it already does batching. We don't send everything at once, we like batch a couple and then send them to NFTables at once to speed up. It doesn't help that much. Still going, okay, thanks, finally. So same thing. What's interesting, I can just use the same script completely unchanged with EUPF. And thanks for the reminder. I don't know, 20 should be enough. So if I start EUPF, I'm going to talk about these arguments in a second. Then, that was wrong. So here it's up, and I start the script, and again, just let it sink in. 4,000, 5,000 done. So that was amazing. Quick reminder. So it's really fast. So that's quite amazing. So when I did these tests on our GTP test bed, when I push the PFCP into Osmo UPF, I see like stuff starts grinding, and messages build up. It's like, you know, waiting for 30, waiting for 60, and it would build up if I didn't stop it. When I run it against EUPF, it hardly ever waits for one message. So I can't push the PFCP quick enough to, you know, make EUPF stop setting up time. It's just too fast. It's quite amazing. One thing I didn't test yet is the decapsulation, didn't test properly yet. And the other is the usage reporting rules that we might talk more about. But also, I want to show around a bit what the project looks like. It's just a public project on GitHub. And this is what their stuff looks like. So they immediately offer a Docker thing, which I just skipped. Implementation. So this is, it looks short compared to how many features PFCP has, but it's like the important stuff, the forwarding rules, they skip the packet detection rules. Oh, here it is. Oh, only one var rule per PDR is supported. I mean, fair enough. Okay, that might be important because sometimes setups want to route traffic both to the UE and also to something that is counting the traffic. So EUPF cannot like split these paths, and neither can Osmo UPF.
Sometimes it's a buffer interception system.
Yeah, or that, or like inject something, I don't know what. So it's not far, it's far from complete, but it's looks like can be made really useful. This is like the installation steps. You have some, you know, standard dependencies, and install Golang 1.20, so I had to pull it from Debian testing, and then some Go install stuff comes up, and I wonder if I still have the, oh, that's why I have this terminal. So, no, was it this one? So, like it, you know, font. I hope it doesn't kill the backscroll. So, like when I do this, it, I don't know what is being pulled in live from GitHub, getting installed without asking. And then when I, you know, start the installation, then it starts over again. And I don't know what are all these dependencies. Why do you need them? But yeah, that's, it's all googly. So that's what it is. And what other tabs did I open? That's the build. Okay, the configuration, you can do it by environment variables, you can do it by command line arguments, or you can do it by a config file. It's interesting, the config file is in YAML and the other stuff is in JSON. I thought maybe you might decide for one of them, but okay, fair enough. Then here's the subnets routing thing, like the decapsulation, so you use BGP. I don't really know what it is. But well, I assume it works because I mean they mention OpenFiveJS, so it should work. What else can I show? Now back to these argument numbers. So someone asked us, can I run 70,000 subscribers on EUPF? And I noticed, well, yeah, I can run 1,024, and then I found these numbers in the code. It's in command, it's like in the eBPF section, XDP, in the pdr.h, you have where are they? You have these limits. And here you see the word map, this is the, what happened now? The eBPF map, and it's 1024 by default. And turns out the developers answered like you have a command line option that you could change them dynamically, but sometimes it doesn't work, and you also have to do this and that, or you can just change the numbers here in this source code, which is exactly the point where I found them. So I had a terminal open somewhere. Let me just go there. Oh, this is actually here. So I had this patch that just makes it 100,000. Or you could make it, I asked, that you could make it 1,000,000. It wouldn't like randomly crash. It would just refuse from the beginning if the number were too large. I tried 1,000,000, but in this instance, like, you know, just not 1,024. Like, or actually, there's a patch before that. But just increase the numbers in the source code, and then it works without a problem. But there's also another place where this limitation comes in. That's why, just to be sure, I also added them here to the live config. Here it's even 1,000,000. But yeah, I mean, there's a limit, but you can get around it, and you can just blow it up. You can scale it without limits, without practical limits. Right, anything else I can show? The JSON API. So I queried some beforehand. So for example, when I go to here the port 8080, I get the config. It's sort of like the VTY, but read-only. So this is in JSON, and the config is in YAML, whatever. You get the active PFCP association. So this would be the PFCP tool. Connected to EUPF. If I refresh it, it's gone now because the program quit. You get all the PFCP sessions. So when I got this, it was in the middle of a test. Let's see how far it got. I just pressed end and it still didn't update. Ah, here. So I don't know, 2,500. So you can get 2,500 JSONs. Why is it marked? So yeah, so I don't know how well this is done. Does EUPF stop until it produced all the JSON? Kind of same as NF tables. Not sure, didn't really test, but I mean, it's possible. And what you also get is PFCP. I thought there's also GTP. So there's total counters for GTP. I'm a bit confused now by why does it say TCP? But anyway, it's not per user, and it's not even per what HNode B or per group, or like that would not be possible at all. But I mean, so it's there are some counters, but it's very general. And but it's fairly new. The developers did respond to my question, so I guess it's has high potential to be very useful because it's so fast.
Right.
I think that's it, yes.
Yeah, well, thanks, Chris. Of course, the most obvious question is throughput of user data. Did you do any testing of that yet?
No, I didn't get around because I used the GTP load gen, but then there was some thing that we don't have time for this particular issue, or maybe we can clarify it internally. But I only have in mind the reports back from customers that it was faster than expected. So that's the only thing I can tell for certain.
Yeah, but that feedback, I mean, that we can share, that this comment was the faster than expected was for the aggregate throughput, not for the creation. Niels has the session creation zone that Niels has verified, and the feedback we received from, we didn't get precise numbers, but they were very surprised, let's say. We don't know we didn't do any throughput testing ourselves.
Maybe I could have, I think we had some numbers, but I was too late to prepare for that, I'm sorry. Yeah. Also, I didn't submit it. I was submitted.
Any word on compatibility with different, for example, network card vendors?
With different?
Network card vendors.
Network card vendors?
Yes. With XDP on?
I know nothing about that.
Not, not your problem?
I think
problem
it customer? Should just work, you know. I mean, they even ship it in a Docker. I don't know, I'm not sure. But I think things got better when some customer stopped testing in a virtual environment and just tested it on bare metal, and that solved a lot of stuff.
Have you considered adopting the XDP approach in Osmo UPF, or is there so much code that there's no point in working on that more?
I'm thinking a lot along those lines. But it would also be nice to have a contender to measure against. I'm not sure. I mean, someone today said to me, like, with the eBPF talk, like, so you have to rewrite all of that now.
I mean, the point when Osmo UPF was created was to do as good as we can with the standard features in a Linux kernel that was available in standard distributions at that time, which certainly did not include eBPF, but not XDP at the time, right? So I think it's good. And the nice thing about Osmo UPF is that it's basically only dealing with, I mean, forgive me, Niels, but only dealing with PFCP. Right? It doesn't have to do any of the user plane handling because it just tells the kernel to do the user plane, either in the tunnel mapping or in the GTP kernel driver part. Whereas if you write something with AFXDP, of course, you need to write that own user plane in an efficient way in eBPF. So the scope certainly is much larger if you do it that way from scratch. I mean, just comparing those two approaches. Right, because you need to implement all the PFCP stuff. Okay, it exists now in multiple programming languages. And then also you need to implement the user plane and doing that in a file. I mean, I don't have any eBPF experience, but in general doing kernel packet processing in a fast way, then you really end up at some point looking at, you know, a structure alignment with cache line links and stuff like that. It's not, there really is a lot of low-level details that can impact performance. So That's sort of why the Osmo UPF was taking sort of the easy approach of using what is there. And I'm not saying it was easy, but I'm just saying comparatively to the large task.
And that's also what is a bit frustrating is that, you know, net filters there, we are on the same machine, we can talk to the kernel directly. How can it be so slow to set up these things? So I'm dreaming of finding that bottleneck, and then maybe we have a lightning speed simple UPF. I don't know.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on that because I mean now there's lots of issues like with the how far can you get like or how speedy can you get quick can you get with a net filter? But I'm pretty sure that that can be improved. I don't know exactly like how, but probably just using Netlink directly or whatever. Because I mean it maybe. Yeah, I don't even know how you are right now using net filter, just like some leap NFT whatever, I guess.
Yeah, it's actually this NFT lingo. Well, we could submit JSON or like NF tables, like the NFT command line tool. It's plain text. So you compose a char string pointer, pass it there, and then you get back plain text. So it's a lot of data, and you have to parse it, either JSON or NF tables lingo, and all you are interested in are a few bytes, but you parse so many bytes, and it's an ASCII and human readable.
So my point is that, as far as I know, that's probably just converted to some sort of Netlink socket. So we could just try going because we really need a just really small subset of stuff that we are doing. I mean, it's just like two or three different rules that we are adding, of course, thousands of times. So that probably can be quite optimized there still, especially even using like raw Netlink sockets. There's lots of problems like buffers queuing there and then even some messages getting lost when you're really doing a lot of Netlink traffic there. So, I mean, I'm sure it can be improved like crazy the amount of time that. So I'm sure it can be improved a lot.
You mean the NF tables part?
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried around a lot, and there's one fundamental problem is you can only get one counter or all of them. You can't say like, okay, I want 100 and then the next 100 and stuff like that. But I don't know. It shouldn't be that inefficient.
Yeah. I mean, one of the problems we are seeing here is the lack of funding for net filter maintenance work. I mean, Pablo is struggling really hard to find. It's surprising, you know, the billions of devices out there with using net filter, and he's barely, you know, able to cover his living cost and so on. So it's there's a lot of lack of time. So I'm sure if you would ask him, he would have like tons of ideas of where exactly what to do. But yeah, I mean, that's sort of lacking. And in terms of the, I'm not so sure that it's the string processing. I mean, it should be very easy to find out with BPF trace. But it's on the Netlink side for sure, and improving that. But it's apparently not been an issue that anyone would ever really look into it so far. But yeah.
But I would like to.
The string processing, but also like probably like how old are.
So the string processing isn't very efficient, given, but that should be lightning fast. I mean,
yeah, but I didn't mean like yeah. The string processing is just like one part of the whole thing, and yeah, we didn't really
one.
Yeah, maybe you already like calculated, it, but it's probably like how like the comments are queued in Netlink and how they are processed in the kernel and how they get back and all this kind of stuff. So
yes.
Maybe it needs changing the way the Netlink packets are made, as in the sense as in maybe creating new messages, so which allow like, you know, like not taking all the counters. Like, yeah, I don't know the details on those Netlink messages. So, but yeah, maybe just like the way that the messages are scheduled over the socket. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know very much detail about those lower layers in Netfilter and everything in Netlink sockets that you name. It's a word to me. I don't really know, but I would like to get into it. Yeah, it's a question of time, but yeah, that I think it would be fun to, you know, find out what is the problem and fix it.
So yeah, maybe just one more comment on that. It's sort of an irony. If you look at the history, we replaced IP tables with NF tables because IP tables was doing atomic table replacement, right? So every time you add a rule in IP tables, you would need to copy the entire table out to user space, make the modification, and then copy back the entire table, and then in the kernel run the verifier that there's no circular jumps and so on. So NF tables basically does none of that. You can actually send a single change request to the kernel and it can do it, but then still there's some other inefficiency that sort of brings us back to the old inefficiency that we had with the atomic table. But and NF tables was what, when 2007 or something? So it's basically 13 years, no, but sorry, well, it's, yeah, 17 years or whatever, nobody seems to really bother looking into it.
And I didn't drill down into depth yet, but we did some BPF tracing, and it was sort of obvious from how it looked that there's some exponential propagation of, and not by how many you put in, but by how many have been there before. So there's some ON squared going on.
I think Sukchan had some question regarding UPF originally that you want to raise.
So in my opinion, so probably OpenPipe's UPF needed to move using some eBPF, FOXDP solution technology, but morning I asked about it. So I needed to maintain tune device or not? This is the remained issue.
Okay, yeah, I haven't really looked at the tonal decapsulation. You also said you didn't really look into it, but something else is needed. I mean, let me say at least conceptually, technically, there is no need, you would need a tunnel device, right? Because you can enter the XDP on one side, you do all the modification in the kernel, and you transmit the packet somewhere else. It is never seen on Linux, so thereby there is no need for a tunnel device. But there's of course many ways to do it.
Yeah, well, I tried naively without realizing I needed this extra component, and I've struggled to get the packets into. I even announced the UE IP address, but still it didn't get into the tunnel. No problem getting out of the tunnel, but the reverse direction was still the problem. So that's like not complete the work on that yet. For evaluating, I'm not complete with evaluating that. I'm sure it works, but I don't know how. Great. So then, thanks for listening.